Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, airline routes, availability of flights and services have all been altered as a result of COVID-19. For example, in news out this week, all planes flying in and out of Singapore are now required to set up an onboard emergency quarantine area by blocking off a section of seats. Now, this move is part of measures to minimize passenger risk of exposure to COVID-19. So, for example, if a passenger or crew member becomes unwell with a fever or any other COVID-19 symptoms during a flight, they'll be moved to the quarantine area and be isolated from others. And to find out more about the future of air travel and what's happening in the industry at the moment as a result of COVID-19, we're joined on the line today by Shukor Yusof, and he's the founder of Endow Analytics. Shukor, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So I have to tell you, earlier this week and last week as well, I got very excited and I saw airlines such as Scoot, Jetstar and AirAsia, they're starting to add more flights to their roster. Are we starting to see things open up and look up?
We are starting to see airlines getting really frustrated. The aviation industry has been the hardest hit by the pandemic. And so airlines are continuing to struggle very, very badly in this current environment. So they are trying their best to look at the potential to fly wherever they can, either domestically or, in the case of Scoot and Jetstar, out of Singapore to places where the travel corridors are in place. But at the same time, we need to understand there are many issues that need to be overcome before they can fly safely, you know, with number of people that would allow them to at least, or, you know, break even when they fly for the operation. But as you've mentioned earlier, all this negative news coming out where you need to quarantine people on board the aircraft, I think that's going to put a lot of potential air travelers off. When they think like that, I think nobody's going to quite, you know, risk flying if they don't necessarily have to unless it's for urgent business.
So who's even flying at the moment, Shukor?
People are, again, on domestic flights, I think in Malaysia, in Indonesia, and in Thailand, and those kind of big countries where there are hinterlands and where there are domestic flying, people do fly, but the numbers are not very encouraging because people are still very pessimistic about going on board an aircraft, being subject to all these measures at the airport, and as you mentioned a few minutes ago, the desire for government and other regulators to really crimp and impose health measures on that. So while I understand that, I think that they need also to be more pragmatic about it. We want people to start flying because it's, you know, at the same time you want to have the health measures in place, but you have to ease certain things. And as I've been saying this week and the week before, that testing is the best thing to do. I think quarantine is not exactly the best measures to impose right now. Testing, especially for people who are about to fly and getting on board the aircraft.
And it's a difficult balance, isn't it, Shukor, in terms of, you know, as you mentioned, airlines are frustrated, they're trying to get things moving again, but at the same time, safety and health has to be a priority. And we've also seen, we've seen news out of Thailand. Thailand's put plans to open tourism hotspots such as Phuket back up. What does this mean for regional air travel? You know, things are stop, start and go.
Well, there's a lot of uncertainty. I think Thailand is one of those countries who are very entrenched in tourism. I mean, their economy depends hugely on tourism. From what I've read and what I've heard from my friends in Bangkok, they've actually put back the idea of opening things up. When Phuket was supposed to open days ago, I think they've decided that maybe it's a bit too early because of a case that they encountered. So I think they're going to look into it again before they open up. So it, as you said, start, go, maybe push back a bit. So for every step that's been taken, two steps backwards. And that's not just in Thailand. I think a couple of weeks ago, they wanted to open Bali up, but that had to be rescinded because of, you know, the comfort level was not there. The number of cases in Indonesia have shot up. So it's put a lot of these people involved in tourism, businesses, hotels, airlines, it makes them very edgy. And understandably, people are also likely to fly when they read in social media on the news about such things. So that meant a loss for the air and travel and tourism industry.
We're speaking with Shukor Yusof, founder of Endow Analytics. Now, Shukor, across the causeway in Malaysia, Air Asia is still seeking to raise capital, as many airlines are in light of everything that's been happening. What do you think will likely be the carrier's next move? I mean, we've also seen them pivot. They're launching a new engineering service arm to serve airlines in the region.
Air Asia, one of those carriers who are very innovative, and you have to give credit to them. And they are doing whatever they can to move away from, you know, the business of ferrying people from point A to point B. So they've been going on the digital adventure quite on a big scale. So they've teamed up with Oracle in the last few months. They've introduced this MRO services, because, and then that's a smart move to do, because when things start to recover, all these planes that are currently grounded will have to be checked, will have to be cleared, be certified airworthy again before they're allowed to fly. So there will be a need for MRO, maintenance, repair, overhaul in the next coming 12 months. And that's something that they are looking to benefit from. So that's essentially a good move. But for other carriers, I think it's still very difficult to raise funds. Governments are still unwilling to pump in the amount of money that they would need. I mean, airlines need a huge amount of money. You know, we're not talking about $50 million. We're talking multiplies of 3, 4, 5 times of that. So that's difficult for countries who are also facing economic difficulties. And in this instance, I think Singapore has done very well, because Singapore has, at the very early stage, put a lot of emphasis and gave a lot of support to Singapore Airlines and the other subsidiary carriers in March, in April, and they've at least covered that. So now the focus is on recovery and on how to overcome this. But in other countries in Southeast Asia, in Thailand, for example, there's still a lot of question marks over the viability of Thai Airways, for example. Garuda is still in huge difficulties to raise funds. Similarly, in Malaysia Airlines as well.
And you know, while we're talking about this in terms of the financial challenges they're having, the manpower challenges as well, I'm sure many airlines are also still looking forward at, you know, how they need to reshape, adjust their business and their aircraft post-pandemic. And we're still seeing some innovate, aren't we? I mean, I saw the article about KLM. It's just launched its futuristic flying wing. It's an interesting time for that development.
I think I speak for the industry and people working there, that the airline industry, whatever criticisms that have been labeled at it, it is one of the very few industries that have continued to innovate throughout the years, even when during those years when they weren't making money. That, you know, there's a lot of smart people in this business who continue to improve and upgrade the facilities, the services, and the safety aspect. I mean, it's just phenomenal. I mean, if you look at flying today compared to 5 or 10 years ago, there are so many positive changes that are attached to flying today in terms of the experience for travelers, for example. And safety is just improved tremendously in the last 5 years. So again, you know, this is one area how I think government should look at it.
On the back of KLM's launch of this futuristic flying wing, looking forward, when we last spoke, it was the really very, very early days of the pandemic, and we just started to discuss possible trends for air travel going forward. So ending the interview on a positive note, what are some of the interesting changes that you're seeing happening in the sector? And from your experience and the conversations that you've been having, what do you think air travel is going to look like going into next year?
I think the landscape will be changed forever post-COVID-19, because the damage that has been wrought by this pandemic is just too huge and on a scale that the industry has never experienced before. But at the same time, I think airlines, not all of them, but some airlines have used this period to restructure their financing, to relook at how they should better realign their human resources, for example, and looking at their fleet and whether they need those aircraft. So a lot of thinking has been done in the last 3, 4, 5, 6 of the pandemic. And that's very encouraging, because as I've said before, this is an industry that's constantly changing. Every 6 months, you're seeing something new. And to that effect, I think those people working in the business have done incredibly well to keep up their spirits, to stay positive, even though there's nothing much positive to look at currently. But at the same time, we will recover from this. And so the experience post-COVID-19 is going to be very much different. There's more emphasis safety, health safety, also safety on board the aircraft. Planes are going to be a lot more well prepared to encounter any difficulties that are going to be brought about by the health crisis. So the future looks great, actually. I mean, in spite of what we're seeing right now, because we're going through this, and we're going to emerge from it a lot more smarter and savvier in terms of what we need to do when we travel on board an aircraft.
Well, always great to end on a positive note. Shukor, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
We've been speaking with Shukor Yusuf, founder of Endow Analytics, here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.